Blog Talk Radio.
In a heart for hope, I'm now we are not afraid, although we know that much to be. We were moving mountains and falling till we could. Can be miracles when you feel me. No hope is great. It's hard to keep it up. No, but miracles you can achieve when you believe. So how you will. You will when you believe. Take hands of peace. Well, that's all to lose and pay. Hope is like the sun on fire to see on the way. But now I'm
Intrigue. I am your host for this Christian talk show on Blog Talk Radio. And I just want to say happy July 1st. Today is, well, officially it is the halfway point of the midpoint of the calendar year. So that's significant. But also, it is Canada Day. And I just always have thought it was pretty neat that I share my birthday with Canada Day, or I guess it's Canadian Independence Day, or I'm not sure exactly the whole historical significance there, information, but I do know it's Canada Day. So that's exciting. But we are doing a special birthday episode. I am 35 today. Praise the Lord. I'm very excited to have lived 35 years. Actually, when I was in high school, I learned that when you, whatever age that you are on your birthday, you're actually living in the next year of your life. So, for example, I'm actually living in my 36 years. I've completed 35 years of life. So I'm actually living in my 36th year. It was an English instructor in high school who told us that, and I always thought that was really interesting because we don't think of it that way, but that is, in fact, technically and chronologically what it is. But moving forward, just reminders of how you can connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/MissDivineIntrigue. I have updated the fan page recently. It is for the blog, divineintrigue.net, and for the show, Divine Experience, not for me, and twitter.com/Dr. Dacia Smith. where I do tweets about episodes, special guests, and sometimes I just throw in a few random tweets, or I retweet maybe something that Max Lupato or Joyce Meyer or Fred Hammond, some of the people I follow who have very important, powerful insights. Sometimes you might catch a tweet thrown in there from Sinbad or some another one of my people I follow who, you know, may say something, you know, profound or very interesting that I think may entertain people. But for the most part, it's going to come from the theme of something inspirational that you can carry with you throughout the day, little nuggets and such like that. And you can email me at missdivineintrigue@gmail.com. Just an update on the Divine Experience Spiritual Seminar that's supposed to be 2 weeks from now, July 14th and 15th. It may be postponed due to some recent events that have occurred personally for me and in my family. So, but I will let you know that for sure next weekend because it's free. So we have to make adaptations, you know, so be it. But I will let you know definitely next weekend. Also, I may or may not get to New Orleans for the Essence Special Empowerment Seminars for pretty much the same, you know, reasons I just alluded to. So we'll see, but I'll know within this week if I'm going to still go. So we'll see on that. I've been looking forward so many years to being able to go, but, you know, things do happen, unexpected turn of events, and so that may have to be delayed until next year. 40 Facts of Life, working on that. TBF end of July. TBF means to be finished by the end of July. And I'm not a procrastinator, y'all. I promise. I've been overwhelmed and swamped and inundated just the last 3 weeks, being out of town, out of state, and thus and such coming up. And it just, I ended up doing missionary work the entire time, which I was so, so happy to be able to do. I was so elated and overjoyed to be able to do that. So, but that did cause a setback for the release of that self-help guide. And on the third soap opera, Danella, I still don't know. I haven't had a chance. I'm just getting back to kind of look through notes and data and see if I can pull together anything where I won't be, you know, starting from scratch with the whole the outline and the plot exposition and all of that. So I'll know that by next week as well. Email me with your insight questions. Insight is my spiritual advice column. I'll be happy to respond to those. I'll post them anonymously, respond to them via the show broadcast and on the blog, divineintrigue.net. Be sure to check the blog for weekly episodes, insight that I've posted, and, you know, other tips. Sometimes I'll just, you know, post valuable information regarding health or home or parenting or family or just anything related to those types of topics, which I feel are very, very important for all of our lives. So praise reports. You all are fortunate because you get to be entertained for 90 minutes today. I have a show. My shows actually from now on are going to be 90 minutes each week. And there are a couple of reasons why I'm lengthening the broadcast. One is because I want to give my guests more time. And I do have, I'm very excited because I have my entire guest lineup for the month of July. And the plan is a guest speaker is scheduled for each week. So I do want to a lot more time for them. And I just feel as though I'm rushed in terms of the introduction and the prayer and review of the weekly episodes, just all of those, you know, little preliminary things, reports that I do. So that's why I'm lengthening the time. Praise reports. So I got back home safely from Texas on Friday. And, you know, I learned and shared much on health evangelism the entire time that I was there. It went by so quickly because we were having such a fabulous time, just fellowshipping together, witnessing. I did all my shows were on location there at the church, the former church I attended. And you can go to the archives and listen to those episodes. I met some just, you know, very fascinating, very, very God-fearing, anointed people who are doing some powerful work in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, especially in that Mansfield area, in behalf of the Lord and the Word of God. So definitely if you get a chance to go back and listen to those episodes and those topics. My son enjoyed the College for Kids program. He's completed his fourth year, and he got to, you know, write HTML code and make web pages. He wrote plays, performed plays. He learned algebra and built dragons and civil engineering out of wooden, you know, sticks. They talk about bridges. In the sports that he was in, you know, he learned more about teamwork and just, you know, preparation and physical, you know, training and skill and drive. And so it was just, you know, a terrific time for him. I am celebrating 35 today. Yay. Last night is actually when I celebrated with my family. Had a birthday dinner at my favorite restaurant here, which is Old Charlie's, because there is no cheesecake back in here, unfortunately. And I don't understand that, because my sister was pointing out, you know, they sell the gift cards in Kroger. I don't understand why there's not one here. But anyway, and then, you know, somebody else said, my brother-in-law said, well, you know, to send it to somebody, you know, who lives in the city where they do have one. And then that's, you know, very true. I wish they had one here. I'm going to try to write the corporate office and ask why they don't have one here and if they bring one here, because I would patronize it, you know, monthly, possibly even, you know, biweekly. Okay, so enough of that. I did get some gift cards, which I could use to kind of, you know, do some home decor, my house that I've been away from for 3 weeks and, you know, trying to get back on track with that. Now, I got many well wishes today via phone, text, and email. So I have a lot of love, and I'm very grateful. In terms of prayer requests, my family is in bereavement still for our my paternal grandmother, Miss Addie Mae Smith. The wake was Friday evening. My son and I actually became right in, you know, from Texas, from Dallas, and, you know, came right through downtown. So we stopped off at the wake before we even went home so we could see family and so that we could, you know, help console each other. The funeral was yesterday, and I was just awestruck. I was outdone. There were 300 people almost were at very close to that, if not that number of people were there. And in just the family alone, because our family got to march over her family, over 100. So it was truly, you know, just amazing to see how influential this woman was in the lives of so many people, her family, her friends, her neighbors, and her church and her community center. And all of the sentiments that were expressed, they just really, they did such a great job of you know, telling about her life and the enormous amount of love she shared with people and her giving spirit. It truly painted such a beautiful, you know, picture of her life with everyone who spoke. So it was definitely a sad, sorrowful time, you know, being the fact that, you know, she will no longer be here with us on this earth. I used to go by and visit her, you know, after work when I was in the city or on the weekends after church and just sit and talk with her. Because her heart was a heart of gold. She was so sincere, and she was just, she was a simple, you know, woman in her ways and her taste and her mannerisms, but she just glowed. You know, she just had an inner beauty and a vibrant spirit that, you know, you just don't find in people all the time. And so those 81 years that God allowed her to be with us, as the pastors were saying yesterday, you know, that is something to be celebrated, certainly. Employment needs, we definitely need to pray for people. I mean, the unemployment rate is still high. There's certainly been a great deal of progress, but we're still in a struggle with it. And, my younger sister is expecting a call this month, a positive call about employment in her field. So, and I know I have another friend who's expecting that call that we all want, you know, that you're hired. So financial needs, of course, are still, you know, they are very real for people. Relationship desires, and, you know, I'm going to have some future shows specifically dealing with relationships and patience, waiting for the Lord to send you the one that he has designated and ordained and, you know, sanctioned for you to be with as a soulmate, and not, you know, getting outside of his will or stepping ahead of his time into something that could in fact be very detrimental for us in the long run. So we're going to talk more about that, because it is difficult to wait. We do have that desire, that longing, and it's tough, you know, when loneliness, you know, really, you know, begins to well up in you, feelings of loneliness. Physical health needs, we want to pray for those. I've got people I know who have some surgeries coming up and just dealing with, you know, different ailments. We want to keep them in prayer. And we want to pray for the efficacy and endearment of ministry and evangelism, because, and when I say efficacy of ministry and evangelism, I'm thinking, and the endearment portion, but the efficacy is how effective we are in the mission that we have in trying to lead people into Christ, because we don't want to try to convert anybody. The Holy Spirit does the conversion, convicts the person, the individual in his or her heart to repent of lifestyle choices that are contrary to the Word of God, and to be submissive and humble to the Lord, and realizing that Jesus Christ is our Savior, God is our Father, and that has to come. The Holy Spirit has to move within that person to bring about that change. But, you know, the efficacy and how well are we as vessels, you know, doing and showing the work of the Lord, and guiding people, informing people, educating people, and loving people more than anything, to see, to want to come into the fold of God and to want to be obedient to the Word of God, because the Lord loves us so much and he provides and does so much for us. And the endearment portion is that sincerity, that genuineness, that sense of unconditional positive regard that we have to have for each other as human beings, because God does that, you know. And I'm thinking specifically of a story I heard when I was in Texas, and this actually, the incident happened in Texas. I can't remember the name of the small city, but there were two young ladies who were involved in a homosexual lesbian relationship, and they were killed in the community, and the assailant, to my knowledge, has not been found or discovered as of yet. But when I read that story, I said, you know, it is so discouraging and disheartening how Satan can just distort and contort and taint somebody's, you know, fervor and passion for, you know, seeing somebody go down the wrong path. But then that is totally and completely warped when, you know, you become violent and in this case, you know, murderous, because that doesn't solve anything. All it does is just give the non-believers and the non-Christians more of a reason not to want to join with us. And so I was so heartbroken when I heard that occur, because now those two young ladies are not here to hear the word of God in a loving way, to know that, you know, they don't have to choose, you know, that type of lifestyle. They can choose the life that God has planned for them, which will include adherence to his word. And certainly, you know, homosexuality is not in the perfect will of God for his humanity. But, you know, Jesus would not have done that. He did not do that. He simply preached the truth and love, and let the Holy Spirit, you know, again, convict the person's heart. So I want us to just pray for that, because it's very sad. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for the life of my grandmother, Miss Addie Mae Smith, beautiful, wonderful lady, touched so many people, and the memory of her will endure and sustain for me for the rest of my life. I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see this 35th birthday, Father God. It is an incredible blessing. Many people don't make it this long and this far, and I'm in great health and strength, Lord, and I just have you to thank for it, because it's truly grace and mercy, because I don't deserve to be here. I don't. As we all have, I've sinned against you, Father, and, you know, we don't deserve the goodness that we receive from you. So thank you, Father. I want to pray again for those financial needs, employment needs. You know, we want to pray for those, you know, desirous of relationships, connections, physical longing. We want to pray for medical health needs. And we want to pray for ministry and evangelism that follows the guidelines set forth in Scripture and Scripture only. And Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bind the devil and the wicked spiritual forces who are working in people professing to be Christians, but going out and attacking, using the forces of violence to intimidate or scare or threaten, because that was not the way of the Lord at all. So, Father God, release all of this in your hands, and we know that your will and your way will prevail. In your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to start by talking about our people of influence for this week. I've already talked about my grandmother and Pastor Sean Harris and Nicole Harris. I'm going to talk a little bit about them and why they're on the list for this week, and Beverly and Ernie Lombard. So let me read the guiding scriptures first. John 11:11. And John 11:11 says, these things he said, he at this point, of course, talking about Jesus, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And then 1 John 5:6, John is just representing all over today. 1 John 5:6 says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So let's start the God Family Saga, the recap of this past week's episode, Goodbye to Jerry. So this is Jerry's funeral, and I just came from a funeral, so I know how highly emotional they can be. But this is the funeral for Jerry, and Gabriel and Dorothy, they have a poem that they've written and that they're dedicating to her, you know, talking about her life and the impact she had on them and the memory they will have of her. And Lynette, Jerry's older sister, and Cynthia, they speak at the funeral. They speak about Jerry and their relationship with her, and just generally the love and the presence that she had with everyone, you know, whom she knew, and that legacy of love that she, you know, left to everyone she touched and encountered. So it's very touching and heartfelt. And, you know, it's toward the end of the episode, you know, Cynthia, after the church is cleared out and, you know, they're talking about where the repast will be, and Cynthia's kind of walking the parking lot, just strolling it by herself, just, and it's really finally starting to sink in the reality of Jerry's death. And then her daughter, Nikki, and Raymond, you know, they come running up, they've come into town to, you know, comfort her and be with her. And, you know, it ends on, you know, a high note, a time of celebration and romance and love, because we can see that Cynthia and Raymond are officially reunited. And, you know, we'll see what happens next, if the marriage actually does take place this time. We'll see what happens very soon. But, you know, in every tragedy, we still have to find praise to the Lord, because God knows best. He knew the appointed time for my grandmother in this fictional story. He knew the appointed time for Jerry. And, you know, there needs to be a celebration of the life of that individual, especially an individual who, you know, had a good heart, you know, a heart for God, truly God-fearing, and that you know, we had a chance to know and love and connect with that individual. I wanted to kind of try to end it on that positive note, because certainly life does go on, and it is difficult, but we have to pick up the pieces, and we still have to press on, because there is certainly work to do, you know, in the kingdom of God. And then the way of the righteous, Erica exposes Joe. So Joe is Erica's ex-boyfriend. She's gone to meet him for this, you know, little reunion. They're reconnecting after over 3 years. He'd emailed her in a previous episode asking if they could get together, and out of, you know, somewhat of curiosity and somewhat of, you know, to, I guess, maybe rile Sam, you know, she, because there's some friction between them, she agrees to the meeting. And so the meeting takes place in this episode, and it's pretty clear to Erica from the beginning, just on what she, you know, senses from Joe and his demeanor, his speech, all of that. You know, he makes very inappropriate gesture when they first meet. You know, she just knows, okay, it's not rude. But she, you know, is not rude. And she goes on forward with the meeting. He talks about how he's joined a fraternity, and that sounds just very sketchy to her, because it doesn't seem like it's a, you know, typical situation with this particular fraternity that he's joined. And so the episode goes on, much unfolds. And, you know, when it's all said and done, at the end, you know, he proposes to Erica as a huge ring, just a you know, enormous glittering rock. And, you know, people are passing by and oohing and aahing, and somebody's even saying, oh, I know, you'd be crazy not to marry him. Look at what you'd be getting, you know, all of this. And that's why we can't look at images and, you know, perceptions and things like that. We really have to have the wisdom and discernment of the Holy Spirit. And I will be on a Blog Talk Radio show tonight called Stay Awake and Stay Aware with host Zion. Mr. Zion, talking about wisdom and discernment of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, fortunately for Erica, she does have that, because she's had a personal relationship with the Lord for years. But, you know, she tells him no. She tells him she's not in love with him, and she doesn't feel he's in love with her, because it's just, he hasn't said that. He's not showing that, displaying that, you know, whatever. And he tries to, you know, argue back and forth with her for a little bit, but then, you know, he realizes it's not going to work. And he has a Freudian slip in there, where, you know, he's saying, whatever, I don't care. There are many men who want me. That's what he says to her. But he doesn't even realize he slipped. She realizes it. He says, what did you just say? And he said, there are many men who want me. Well, of course, he thought, he said, there are many women who want me. But in his mind, you know, that's what he was thinking. And so she calls him on it. And then, you know, at the very end, you know, she does get him to admit, of course, he is defensive and just, you know, totally and completely foul when, you know, she first makes the allegation. But, you know, he realizes, okay, she's caught him, you know, and he needs to just come out with it. And he actually does come out completely and fully to her. And then after that, because he's coming out completely and fully to the world, because he's tired of, you know, all of the, you know, concealing and hiding and cover-ups and all that kind of thing. And, you know, she tells him out in love that, you know, she cannot condone his lifestyle. She would not condone it. She, you know, hopes that he will repent and come to Christ, whatever, whatever. But, you know, at that particular time, it doesn't work. But she does plant the seed, so... Now, you know, it's in, you know, the hands of the Holy Spirit being able to work through him if he allows it to do that. But she's done her part. But then, you know, the second part of the episode is she goes home and tells April what's happened, and April's just flabbergasted. But when she tells Sam, you know, he's relieved, of course, and they have a really cute, sweet, you know, conversation, and, you know, they're reconciled at the end of the episode. So we're going to find out what happens after that, because the next big event is Bryce's birthday celebration where he's actually going to reveal to everybody that he's engaged to Kara, but April's thinking he wants to propose to me. He's realized we were meant for each other, all of her delusions and wishful thinking and everything. So that will be very interesting. We know that April is highly emotional as well. So now we're going to turn to, I like this. This is where I just get really miscellaneous and random and incidental because it's my birthday and I can do that. On this day in history, on July 1st, these are just some interesting little points to note of events that occurred. Alanis Morissette, the singer Alanis Morissette, and everybody knows that she had that huge hit, It's Like Rain. I think it was called It's Like Rain. I just remember that was the main, verse of course. It's Like Rain, I'm not trying to sing it, but I just, for people to recollect it because it was some years ago. But she was born in 1974, on July 1st, 1974. So she's 3 years old, so today she's actually 38. And then in 1977, on July 1st, 1977, because I'm a tennis girl, Virginia Wade beat Betty Stowe in the Wimbledon singles. And, oh, goodness, y'all, July 1st, 1979, the Sony Walkman was introduced. Wow. And now the Walkman is, if you're really trying to get an antique item and you're into collecting antiques, the Sony Walkman would be, it would certainly be one. And, in making some comparisons, I just thought about, different aspects of society, religion, education, economy, the psychosocial development of children, all of that. And I found that it could be pretty adequately encompassed. Oh, by the way, I got those significant events from statesinhistory.com. But this other website, I thought was kind of cute. Not the whole website, but they did have, some pretty interesting correlations here between 1977 and 2012. And it talked about, it has this little joke. It starts with this little joke. It's the website is eForwards.com, e-forwards.com. But it has a picture of a cassette tape with the cassette tape is personified as, I guess, Darth Vader or the, I don't know, there's like a black cape coming off the cassette tape body, and the cassette tape is saying, "I am your father." And then there's a picture of a Nano with arms and legs or an iPod, whatever. iPod Shuffle, and the iPod Shuffle is hands is thrown up in the air, and it's like, no. So I don't know if that is a reference to Star Wars or what, but anyway, I just thought that was really funny because certainly when I was young in elementary school and middle school before the CDs came out, CDs came out, I guess I was in late elementary, but they weren't as popular until they mid to later 90s. But, yeah, so, and then on Facebook a while back, talked about how, in those early years that the cassette tape, when you wanted to record a song, you had to wait for it to come on the radio, catch it right at the beginning if you wanted the very beginning, push that play and record at the same time, and just hope that you got that, it didn't get, cut off at the very beginning. But just funny things like that. And then talked about, the classroom, and the 1977 classroom versus the 2012 classroom. And the 1977 classroom, it has them using, typewriters or something, and that was, considered, really high-tech technology. The Apple computer was introduced in 1977, but it wasn't commercialized at that point. It has respect your parents. They did high school without Google or Wikipedia. And I tell my son all the time, actually went to a library. There were books and microfiche and all that kind of thing, and it was a day-long, thing because it was just a lot, you know, to cull through and to gather together, you know, for the research paper or whatever it was. So that was, you know, and that's why we go to the library so much now. And I sit there and I might read a whole book at the library. And I tell my son, go read a whole book, because I don't let him jump on the computer. He's like, you can be on the computer at home and, you know, you're going to do your DSI and all that kind of stuff, whatever it is he does. So, you know, we read. And then it has the 2012 classroom where, you know, somebody's got, the teacher's trying to teach math, and, you know, somebody's got a BlackBerry, and somebody's got an iPhone, and somebody's got an iTouch, and somebody's got this. I mean, they just have all kinds of things. And they're going away and tweeting and Facebooking and doing all this kind of stuff. So it's funny, but it's not funny, because, in fact, what we have done to this present generation. Oh, and let me throw in this little blurb. This is a caveat that I promise will be very, very short regarding Generation. So I do know this. Generation X, which is my generation, if you were born between 1964 and 1977, you are a part of that Generation X that is so, I mean, we're just so well known and, you know, regarded as just having it together, being on the up and up. Many of us are avant-garde and progressive and all this kind of thing. If you're born between 1946 and 64, my parents' generation, is the baby boomer generation. Before that, I don't even think they were doing, I mean, it's maybe like World War II general or whatever. But, you know, the baby boomers and Generation X. So if you were born 1978 or after, they've got so many different names for that generation. My little sister's in that generation. You know, between 1978 and I guess 92, 93. I'm not sure exactly when the cutoff for that one is, but somewhere in that mid-90s, I don't know what they call you. I think they were calling Generation Y at one point, or just Generation, I don't know. I'm not sure what they were calling you. But, of course, my son's generation is the millennium generation. He was born in 1999, so I would say anywhere from, like, the mid-90s on, you know, through this millennium would be that millennium generation. And they are so, I mean, there is an obsession with the electronic, technological, you know, boom, that all of that is just a barrage of, you know, so many different mechanisms and devices. And, I mean, it is this, you want to talk about, you know, really, you know, having just, you know, a huge surge in it, especially since the millennium came in. And I think it's just too much for them. I think they just can't handle it. Because if I would let my son, he would stay on the DSI all day long, if I would allow it. If I were not parenting and supervising, he would be on it all day long. They can do that. They're wired that way sometimes, somehow. It's a mystery to me. But anyway, so the comparisons. Now, here is something else to know that I thought was very interesting, because I wanted to do a little comparison between the cost of living, you know, indexes and price comparisons and so forth. So how much things cost in 1977? We know how much they cost today. The average cost of a new house, like $49,300, right? Average income per year was $15,000. Average monthly rent was $240. Cost a gallon of gas, 65 cents. A BMW 320i was $7,990. So very interesting as well. So we wish we could go back to, in some ways, return to 1977 with the prices and then just, you know, eliminate the cost of living factor and the inflation, because obviously we would have to be able to have those prices applied to today. But I certainly wouldn't mind that. I don't think you all would either. Okay, so let me go forward here. Just one more comment, you know, on the comparisons. You know, obviously, you know, crime is higher due to broken families and broken homes. And when I say broken families, I'm not talking about the single parent family, because the single parent family has taken what I feel is an unfair bash and blame for the increase in criminal activity, delinquent children, and so forth, because even though there may be a high correlation between children who come from single parent homes and, you know, their resulting lack of productivity in adult life, but I think the correlation is more so because of other variables, intervening variables, such as poverty, such as, you know, lack of education and value systems in the home. Those variables, I think, are far more responsible for that result or that outcome than just, you know, the single-parent condition itself. Because even in the 70s and before, you know, there were single-parent homes that were very, very highly moral homes. Parenting was effective. There was love in that household. The children were upstanding. They were right behaving and so forth. So the single parent, I mean, that is not a valid argument or contention from my standpoint. I think, you know, again, the brokenness of a home, because you can have a two-parent household that's broken if there is an alcoholic parent or a parent, you know, addicted to some other type of an illicit substance, or a parent who's eating or abusing, you know, that kind of thing, or the spouse. You know, you can have a broken home and you can have a psychologically damaged child, even in that two-parent household. So I think it's more we look at the factors within the home, the dynamics of the home, and that is what crumbled during the 70s, 80s, and 90s across racial lines, across socioeconomic lines. That fell apart, and that is the reason why. And I would, if I gave any kind of attribution to it, it would be because people stopped being submissive to the Lord with the decisions in their lives. Because when he is the head, when Christ is the center of a household and the head of a household, you know, these things don't corrode the family constellation. So I would say that is, you know, the source of the problem. But anyway, moving forward, so some of my insights for today. Well, actually, I'm doing a little, I guess I created kind of a report or listing of the 35 most thrilling things in life to me. And I'm going to start, I'm just going to go down. They're not in order of priority or importance at all, because I just did this like about an hour before the show started and I was just rattling them off in my head. But now, when I say thrilling, I'm talking about exciting, rejuvenating, you know, they, you know, vitalizing, they give life and energy and just make you, you know, feel all, you know, giddy inside. So, number one, God's miracles. Seeing any of God's miracles right before you. Everything from waking up in the morning to, you know, finding out someone got cured from a terminal illness, to the birth of a child, any of God's miracles that are performed, you know, narrowly missing getting into a car accident that could have been fatal, fatal car crash or something like that, anything like that. You know, somebody giving their life to Christ, being baptized, all those things. Number two, traveling to all seven continents of the earth. And so I have a desire to travel to all seven continents of the earth. I've lived on the North American continent, obviously, and I have lived on the European continent, the continent of Europe, rather, the continent of North America, because my father was in the military when I was younger and we lived in Germany. So, but the other five I haven't been to. And in my lifetime, God willing, I've lived long enough, I would like to travel to the remaining five. And I would like for my son to be a part of some of that, you know, and I know there's only a few years left before his adulthood, but even if not with me, that he would be able, you know, to experience that himself. Because God's earth is so beautiful and lovely and magnificent. Just all that he's created in nature, it's just, to me, it is, you know, it's ineffable. To a degree. I mean, you can't even put into words, verbalizing it, just how, you know, truly awesome it is. It's amazing. Number three, seeing all the seven natural wonders of the world, same thing, you know. God created our entire earth, and he created for our enjoyment and also for us to be good guardians over the natural part of the earth and caretakers. But, you know, seeing how beautiful and majestic this earth is, it's, you know, how could we not want to care for it? So I would like to get to see those. Number, I had two threes. Being bilingual or multilingual. So I used to speak German and French. I did not use the languages, so I have lost the languages conversationally. I was almost fluent in German, but conversationally I've really lost both of them because I've not been interacting with people using them. So I would like to be fluent in German, French, and Spanish at least. And then I would like to pick up the language of my tribe that from and my Torah tribe, which is my ancestry, one of the languages. There are always so many languages within even a tribe in a country or village. But I'd also like to, you know, pick up an Asian language as well. So, there's so much. But I definitely do want the Spanish, French, and German. I think that will, internationally, that will benefit me greatly. Number four, mastering an instrument. I think that's thrilling. And I've not mastered any instrument. I had pretty much mastered the recorder when I was in elementary school. And it does count. But I took piano lessons when I was 12 and 13, and I quit. I just, you know, I was too cute, and, you know, I was starting to really get into guys and my whole image and appearance and all that, and so I didn't want to be bothered, which I greatly regret now because I saw at the piano recital, my mother-in-law had, you know, that it could be, you know, you can just, the heights and the, you know, are just, you know, beyond limitation when you excel in an instrument. Number five, the instrument I would like to learn how to play, the violin. I want to learn how to play violin. Or the piano. I understand that if you learn how to play the piano, you can really, you know, learn how to play any other instrument. So I guess I'd start with the piano and violin. Number five, attending an awesome gospel concert that's really, you know, live and then the Holy Spirit's in the place and then people are just glorifying God. I have been to those before and I just stay on that spiritual high for weeks and weeks after. It's the coolest, neatest thing. And I think it was a Fred Hammond concert that I went to. That was one of the best I've ever seen it. Hearing a dynamic speaker on any topic that I'm passionate about or have an interest in personally, but a very good speech or, a delivery is to me, it just really, it's moving and it's inspiring. I do appreciate hearing a good, strong speech, an elocution that, is valuable. Number seven, watching a suspenseful movie or show. I do like good movies and good shows. I like suspense. I don't like horror. I like suspense. So not knowing exactly what's going to happen next because then I'm thinking ahead and I'm very analytical, so I enjoy that. Number eight, participating in spiritual witness or literature evangelism, like I recently did when I was in Texas. And of course, I do it at my church here. But that's a thrill, just being able to engage and dialogue with someone about how the Lord has changed your life, improved your life, sharing literature that you've read that really helped you with somebody who may be going through the same issue, the same problem, situation. Number nine, opposite sex attraction or chemistry is what we like to call it. But it is, and Tina Turner had a song, What's Love Got to Do with in the 80s, but, the lyrics of the song, I didn't realize until later, but that opposite sex attraction, it is, those endorphins and all that adrenaline and everything that wells up, in you when, that attraction is there and it's strong, and you're really, vibing. There is a thrill. I mean, it's sensational. It has its own high, so to speak, with it. And some people, they have difficulty coming off it, and then they start to go off into, whole imaginary thing, like you have a relationship and all, and many times you don't, but like April Lovejoy. But anyway, it is exciting. Number 10, great girl talk. And if I have any males listening to this, of course, you think that's just like whatever. Like you would rather, gag yourself with a 10-foot-long spear, than even think about that. But, girly talk about, hair and clothes and just things that we're interested in, it's not gossip, because gossip is bad. I'm not talking about gossip. But just, things that we're interested in, or how our bodies change and develop, whatever. So we like gabbing about that kind of stuff. We go on for hours and hours because there are just, situations and interests unique to women just like they are to men. And it's fun. You learn a lot. 11, creative writing. So, of course, I've written 4 novels and a nonfiction self-help, working on another one, and quite possibly another novel. I do my blog, my soap operas, I do my insight responses and spiritual advice. So I just love writing. That is, I feel, a part of my nature. It's one of the gifts that God has given me and equipped me, and I try to use it in every case that I can from a spiritual perspective to, again, inspire, uplift, and encourage people. But I love doing it. I love, the creative aspect, because I can use my imagination and I can be very descriptive with language. Number 12, reading an engaging book. I love doing that. Because engaging an engaging book, you know, you and I, if I get a chance, I'm going to talk about a couple of book reviews. But in an engaging book, you know, the information stays with you. You can apply it to your life, and you can pass it on to somebody else. But, you know, if it can keep you captivated, that's enjoyable. And playing board games. So I have my certain board games that I really like. Group of Two is one of them, obviously. And there's another one, Would You Rather. You know, I have a host of board games that Scrabble, different ones like that. I think Taboo. You know, just different ones. But I do enjoy life. I enjoy board games. Number 14, spending time with my son. So my son is getting older, and at different stages in his life, we have, you know, obviously he's had different interests, and depending on his abilities or what, you know, developmentally is appropriate at that time. But I've always really enjoyed spending time with him and been thrilled to spend time with him and get to know him. You know, more and more as he changes. And he also, you know, he educates me on some things and gives me a lot of insight. Because children, you know, God does give children a sense of knowledge that, and you know, a degree of just, you know, basic common sense or awareness about things that sometimes we lose touch with as adults, but their innocence is certainly something that we can learn from. And 15, praying to God. 16, praising God. Oh, I just get, you know, so I can get anxious, but not anxious in a negative way, anxious in a very positive way. And just lifting up the name of the Lord, whether that's through singing or through praise dance, because I have different ways that I do that. Sometimes just speaking about what God has done for me or a scripture verse from the Bible. Number 17, hearing someone's testimony of Jesus Christ. That's very, very exciting. Just to listen, to hear what the Lord has done for, you know, somebody else in their lives, that is a, you know, a fascinating, you know, tremendous thing. 18, the start of a new school year. It's definitely thrilling seeing returning students that, you know, really like or enjoy, new students coming in and getting them started and acclimated and so forth, new teachers coming in, you know, new programs or, you know, whatever, wherever the changes are going to be. It's thrilling. And the end of a school year is thrilling as well. That's number 19, right? Because as teachers, you know, certainly they're, you know, burn out at different points, and one is the midpoint of the school year, and then, of course, you know, by the end, just because we put so much of ourselves out and our time and our energy and certainly even finances in some case, you know, for the sake of the children. So we don't regret it, but, you know, we do need to recoup, and summer is a time when we can do that a little bit. 20 spectacular surprises. I do love those. I don't like all surprises because they're bad surprises, and I don't like those. I like the great surprises. Anything, you know, a phone call from somebody you haven't heard from in a long time, you know, somebody, you know, showing up with a card, or it doesn't have to be a gift, anything that costs money, but just, you know, showing up with something, or, you know, somebody acknowledges you or mentioning you and you didn't even expect them to, or just anything like that. 21, getting a new hairstyle. 22, getting a new outfit. Girly thing. Girly thing. I'm a girly girl. 23, extending charity. So feeding the homeless in the shelter, or going to the battered women's shelter and ministering to them, or the nursing home and ministering, or the Senior Citizen Center, or you know, collecting clothes, food, any of those types of drives, just anything like that, extending charity in any way possible. I find that thrilling. And it does remind me to be more grateful for what God has done for me. Number 24, flying. Oh, at takeoff, I'm just a bundle of nerves at takeoff. But once I'm in the air, the thrill of watching, you know, being up above, watching the buildings just look like tiny little, toys on the ground or something. I mean, they're just so infinitesimal, but, over water or whatever. It's just really, it's really neat from that view, what do they call it, the eagle eye view or whatever. 25, a morning walk or any type of exercise. In the summertime, do my early morning walk, 6:30, 7 o'clock. But, you know, once it gets too cold or school starts back, whatever, then, of course, I exercise inside mainly. But aerobics or whatever you do, sometimes I get to a free gym that's here. But there's a thrill that comes with that because it does work up, you know, it gets the circulation and blood flowing, which is a good thing. Number 26, holidays are thrilling. And I'm not talking about the commercialism because that certainly is overdone. And if anything, that actually puts a damper on the holiday. I try to refrain from getting caught up in that, you know, as much as possible. But I'm talking about the family gatherings. To me, that really makes a holiday special because my family is very close-knit, both sides, and we do get together. And we do, we fellowship and support each other, and I like that. Number 27, reunions. There's always, every time we get together on my dad's side, there's basically always a reunion because tons of people come. On my mom's side, sometimes a little more scattered here or there, but we recently had a Mother's Day celebration for my mom's mother, who's 88. And, you know, it was a mini reunion of sorts. We did have quite a few people come from out of town and, all of that kind of thing. But, you know, it's exciting. Sometimes you're meeting new people. Sometimes you're seeing people you haven't seen in a while. People live out of town you can't see as often. But the laughing, the talking, the chatting, the catching up, all of that. It's just, it's really great. Number 28, planning and executing programs. Since I am a program-oriented, project-oriented person, and so even at school in my counseling, department, I'm always, you know, presenting or, you know, making these, suggestions to my administrators, you know, about different programs for the kids that I think would be beneficial or, you know, valuable to them and how we can set this program up. Do we need to get in speakers? Do we need to get benefactors or supportive communities to volunteer, donate this and that. I love all that. We did a literacy fair at Barnes & Noble last year. Myself, librarian, and the instructional facilitator, we put it together, and I was like, ooh, the whole time. I was just pop, pop, pop from the very beginning, and we ended up having it around December, around the holiday time. But we started 2 months before planning it out, but it was just I just loved it, you know, where some people, there's a certain degree of stress that comes with it, and certainly, you're a little bit anxious because, you know, you're wanting it to obviously turn out to be, you know, positive and enjoyable and successful, but, you know, that pushes you. It's kind of like the driving force, you know, to make it the best that it can be. I like creating games, too, because I create a lot of games through, just impromptu means and ways. You know, you learn how to improvise when you're a teacher in public school, Title I school, you know, resources are not always available. So I create a lot of games, and I create a lot of stories, for the kids. And they really get excited and they enjoy them. That's something I like doing. Number 30, a new day. A new day is always thrilling, a chance to start over that God gives us to make different choices, better choices. Love, all forms of love are thrilling. Husband-wife love, parent-child love, whatever types of love you have, love of friends, close friends, all of that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, so agape love, all of that. 32, seeing young people thrive in their education and academics, thrive in their careers and entrepreneurship, certainly in spiritual entrepreneurship, for the Lord. It is so thrilling. Vacations are thrilling for obvious reasons. Quiet time is thrilling for me. I can just sit back and reflect on the goodness of God, take the time to just I guess you would call it figuring out, what God, has for you or desires, for me to do anyway. Because it takes a quietness, it takes getting into a place of serenity and solitude to do that. And I hear the Lord, I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me and tell me things that I can't hear when there's a lot of commotion going on. And then 35, last but certainly not least, probably first, going to heaven with God. So that's the 35 most thrilling things in life. Okay. Movie review, real quick. Tyler Perry's Good Deeds. So I saw that while I was in Texas. And I'm going to start doing a movie critique probably every time I do a show now that I'm linking the broadcast. But it's going to be on a 7-star scale. And so I give Tyler Perry's Good Deeds 6 out of 7 stars. It definitely earns a star for the plot. The plot, Wesley Deeds is the main character. And what I really like is playing someone is Tyler, plays himself, his male self. I like that. The Medea is funny, but I do like to see him because he's very, very, strong actor as himself, as a male. And so, but he is a CEO. He's a tycoon and a computer tycoon. And, he's at a stage in his life where he's having a lot of considerations and at a crossroads about, is he really living the life that he wants to live, or is he living the life people expect him to live? Has he ever really, stepped out and just followed his heart? And so in the film, he's engaged to a woman that, is by the standards of society is somebody who he should be engaged to. Definitely, they equate in terms of their socioeconomic status, ostensibly in terms of their values and so forth. But then he meets another lady in a chance encounter that, really changes, the trajectory of his life. And I'm not going to, spoil the movie for you, but, the primary plot is great. It definitely keeps you engaged. For characterization, it got a star because that character, Wesley Deeds, really delve into, the core, the essence of who he is as a man. It's beyond the superficial and the exterior of, this multimillionaire and all these, classifications that he has societally. But, it goes into, who is that man really, Wesley Deeds? What is his passion? What drives him? What moves him? What does he really want to do in life? Because his father, he inherited the business from his father. And so not that he wasn't interested in and didn't enjoy that, but there's more to His personality, there's more to him than that, and he discovers that, he uncovers that in this film. As for he gets, there's a plot, there's a secondary plot, there are secondary plots that are enduring. There's a star for that. And then the melodrama, the romance, the humor, the suspense, all of it's there. It's very, very well intertwined with the primary plots and through the characterization, all that. We know Tyler. He's very, very good at integrating all those elements. And the the moral message, that's where it just really got to happen. The only piece that a problem with was, he was having, premarital sex with the fiance or, whatever. And I know that that's so accepted in this time. And certainly I was a fornicator myself. So I'm not judging. Because in the past, I've had the same problem. But, we don't want to condone something the Bible clearly says is wrong. So I couldn't give him a full star for that, even though there certainly is a very strong moral message in that, you should not marry unless you're absolutely sure. And, even beyond that, the extension of a helping hand that he gives to, this person in crisis. And he gets a half star for the climax, because I couldn't really clearly identify it. I think I know where it was, but I just like a very definitive, precise climax. And I guess that comes more from a literary standpoint, with the book, but I like to kind of see it in a movie too. So I know when it's like there's a just some kind of click in my head or something. But I think I pretty much know where it was. I couldn't say for sure. And he does get a full star for the ending finale. I mean, Tyler's, his finales are always, exceptional. But so anyway, Tyler Perry's good deed. So real quick, the book reviews. I read Betty White's, this is her seventh autobiographical account. It's called If You Ask Me and Of Course You Won't. Betty White is 90 years old. My mom's mother is almost that age. But she has been in this business for like seven decades, the acting, entertainment, celebrity business. And but Betty White, of course, we know her, for her roles, her acting roles. She's a very, very accomplished actor. But she also, there are some things about her that I was just so impressed to hear. One of them was she joined the American Women's Voluntary Services during World War II, and she is an animal lover and animal rights activist. She has a care center called Bet's Pets dedicated to helping animals, and she is a member of the Los Angeles Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Another fact about her, she was, married to Alan Luden. He's deceased. But she works with the Los Angeles Zoo to help animals and, for their welfare. Betty White, she has won 29 Emmys. I think it's right. Yeah, I think it's what it says. A 500,000 people on a Facebook campaign wanted her to host Saturday Night Live, which she did. She got the Screen Actors Guild Award in 2011, and she received a Lifetime Achievement Award. She got the Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Comedy Series. She has this organization called Guide Dogs for the Blind, or she's part of that organization. She sponsors a guide dog each Christmas. Betty Wright, she's an honorary forest ranger through the Forest Service. And, you know, she wanted to be a forest ranger zookeeper. That was the ultimate career path for her if the acting had not worked out. But, of course, at that time, you know, many, many years ago, women, you know, they didn't have easy access or entrance. Some cases were completely prohibited from going to certain careers, and I would certainly think that those would be two of them. She has a 37-year-old dog named Coco who does sign language, and you know, she loves stuffed animals. She has a room, and that's something she and I share in common because I have tons of stuff, probably 50 plus. She does not own a computer and does not want to. And here's her advice to future actors or those going into the business. Maintain as level ahead as possible. Keep your feet on the ground. And you don't just luck into integrity, you work at it. Because one of her points was that, you know, the integrity of the business has really declined and is having, you know, such a negative reflection on the acting business because people, you know, their behaviors and characters and so forth, you know, people like Lindsay Lohan and the Charlie Sheen and all of that. And she says, you know, it's very sad because we, you know, we need to, you know, regard the profession with dignity and be upstanding. And she's absolutely right. Also read Keeping the Faith, which was compiled and edited by Tavis Smiley. It is a compilation of stories written by African Americans that they're stories of love and courage and hope for, and it really, you know, it transcends the race. Really, all Americans can identify with these values and these ideals. And I came up with what I felt was a guiding scripture for the entire compilation. Faith is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And Tyler himself says the greatest love of all is God's love in his dedication. And he starts out, he talks about love lifted me, the Negro spiritual. That's the first song that he mentions when he's doing his preface, his introduction. And he says, you know, he says it's about faith. Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, and faith looks up. And I thought that that was just such such a great, you know, quote, to a motto to live, because we definitely want to look up, you know, to the Lord, because that's where our faith comes from. And we don't need to look back on what we can't change, because that will just make us more sorrowful, and we don't need to look around, worry about all the craziness going on around us that many times we can't control, but we always need to look up toward the Lord. And Psalm 35, I thought about that scripture when I was reading. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Lots of great stories here. I thought about 1 Corinthians 13. Many of the stories talk about, because there are stories by Booker T. Washington and Yala Van Zandt, Danny Glover, talk about love is sustaining and encouraging and restorative. Dr. Cornel West, you know, he talks about how our young people are not loved enough, but the love that he's talking about is not the spoiling, it's not the enabling to become a trifling person and not take care of yourself and be self-sufficient, which in many cases is what is happening in several households today. But he's talking about the love that is a love that lifts up and builds up and encourages you to be the best you can be. And he says that's why many of our young people are suffering today, and they're delinquent and misfits, and they've been written off as incorrigible and all this kind of thing, because that love, that strong, disciplinary, yet guiding and structuring love, not present in the home for them. And we must accept responsibility for that, he says, and I agree. The self-destructive behaviors because they have not been loved enough in the right way. And then, you know, one lady talks about the pillar of strength being her mother. And, you know, I think about, you know, my mother as well, how she's always been there. She's always been a strong prayer warrior and been that rock to just lean on, that support. The last book that I want to talk about is called Dangerous or Safe, and it is by Dr. Kara Netterson. And Dr. Netterson, she lists a number of different foods that we need to be aware of that could be harming, poisoning our bodies, different allergens, exposure to allergens. She talks about pesticides. She talks about juices and dairy products. But she has done research. It's a research-based book from her experience in the medical field, her expertise, as well as her own parental instinct and just from a parental standpoint of what she's experienced with her own children. But and she has just like 100 websites at the end from where she's actually drawn her information. She has written this in a format that's very easy to understand. She doesn't use a lot of medical jargon. She does use some, but she bounces with the layman's terms to the bottom line to see what we need to be aware of that we might be exposing our children to and ourselves to that might be subjecting us to many of these illnesses and ailments that we fight from day to day. So I would encourage you to get that book in the library as well, Dangerous or Safe, what foods, chemicals, et cetera, are really putting our children and ourselves at risk. Excellent resource for health. So I'm going to close now. My next show will be next Sunday, July 8th. I'm going to have Zion on the show. He is the host of Stay Awake and Stay Aware. But I will be on his show tonight at 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and then it will be 11 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you're a Nighthawk, you can be up with me. If not, you can catch it in his archive. Zion Zeus, or, just call him Zion. But I'll tweet it out in a bit. But definitely, I have really enjoyed my time here today with everyone. I am so glad that you were able to tune in and be with me. Tonight, I will be speaking on wisdom and discernment from the Holy Spirit and just how important it is as Christians that we really pray that we will be led by the Holy Spirit and, personally, professionally, in all aspects of our lives, mentally, because, spiritual warfare is very real. And it is powerful. So it's not as powerful as the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the Lord, but it does have power and it has influence, and we don't want to give any place to that wickedness. So we definitely have to be aware and discerning. So let's have closing prayer, and then we'll finish out with a song. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for this time today. Again, thank you for allowing me to see 35 on the line. And thank you for my wonderful listeners, audience, supporters, and I pray that they will be blessed by this show, those that they may hear. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. BET Worth of tonight, 7 o'clock, if you choose to watch. So I would throw that little publicity blurb in there. But let's get back to from Prince of Egypt. And everyone have a great day. Bye.